It was Saturday night. I was sitting at the Awful House. And placed my usual order of 2 eggs scrambled well with grits and toast and orange juice. And I was waiting for that to arrive. Waffle House. Sitting there by myself, I had just preached an evangelistic sermon. Relaxing a little bit after the day's duties of the Sabbath. And a man comes into the Waffle House with a handful of church bulletins. And he sees me, comes directly to my table. And he says, "Sir, I just want to invite you to my church tomorrow." And we sat down. He sat down and we began to discuss church, and before long he asked me what I did for a living, and I told him, and I asked him what he did for a living, and he told me he was disabled, he couldn't do very much at all, but he just felt a compelling of God to give out bulletins and invite people to his church. I'm thinking in my heart, praise God. Here's someone who's really interested in people coming to the Lord. He knows in his church they can find Christ, so he's taking the effort and giving of his time to invite me. So I want to share with him as well. And we begin to discuss the Bible. And as it usually does in so many instances, when you begin talking about the Bible and you come to a point of controversy or a point of conflict, one of the party always says, "Well, it really doesn't matter anyway. As long as you love Jesus and serve God, it doesn't matter what faith you are." Have you ever heard that? The Bible just happens to teach, though, that what you believe determines how you act. And therefore, it is important to believe the truth, because you can only act right out of truth. We here in America enjoy religious freedom, at least a measure of it. We don't often like to talk of it, but the time is coming in which the religious freedom that we enjoy right now will be stolen. And I'm concerned because unless we develop a steadfastness now to truth and to exercising the right of worship, it won't really matter so much to us when that right is removed. We might even become part of those who declare it right for the United States of America, for the government to step in and take away the right of worship. If you noticed in your bulletin, this is very good. Parson to parson, right here it is. A fundamental misunderstanding of religious liberty occurs when government sees itself as the grantor of religious freedom. If government sees this liberty as something that it gives to a person, it can also see itself as the one who can take it away. You see the implications of that, don't you? History confirms this over and over. That's why our founding fathers insisted that freedom to worship, according to one's conscience, is a God-given right, inalienable, and is not to be tampered with by any governing authority. Ah, but Scripture points out that the time is coming when religious liberty shall be stolen from you. In Revelation 13 and Revelation 14, it has an application to you living in these last days. And to Michaela and Erica and Emily and Kendall, the other children that are here right now. If I'm dead and gone, surely your generation will see this come to pass. A time in America, in North America, the land of freedom, when it is dictated to you how to worship and even when to worship. What happens to those who decide, though, to stand for what they believe is truth? What happens to those who decide to stand for the truth like Daniel? Well, let's read about it here in the book of Revelation, beginning in chapter 13. Not a new message for some of you, but maybe new for some. But I hope it's a revival message for all of us here to make a decision today that we will be honest before God Almighty, that we will do all in our power to live truth. Revelation 13:1. Then I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns were 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed after the beast. And then we have 10 different measurements to identify this beast's power. And for you kids that were up here on the front row today, listen to me. We know in Scripture and history, combined with inspiration, really, who this power represents. There is no question. The difficulty today comes in rationalizing with somebody who believes that it's all yet to come in the future. There are a few, although I've never met them, who believe everything has already happened in the past. Those are called preterists. But for you young people, if my age group dies off, you will live to see all of this develop into full fulfillment of Scripture. Up until the mid-1950s, every major Protestant church in North America was teaching the same thing on this subject, bar none of them, and I can prove it. Every one of them was teaching that this beast power in Revelation 13 and in the book of Daniel is the same as the Antichrist power, the one that eventually succeeds in bringing about a time known as the mark of the beast or the time of the end. We always attach 666 in there somewhere. Every major Protestant church in North America had properly identified from the book of Daniel and Revelation, from at least 10 different ways of identification, that this composite beast, which is described as being like a leopard, his feet of a bear, mouth of a lion, and receiving power from the dragon, which is Lucifer, identifying that system as the papacy. We come down, though, to verse 11, and there's another beast. This beast comes up out of the earth. Revelation 13, 11. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. He had 2 horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. None of you children have ever seen that on TV. They don't put this in the movies. They leave out the religious connotation. There are some references in the movie The Lion King. Some of you have seen it. Between right and wrong, good and evil, and the king lion and other things. But Hollywood is no match for Revelation 13 and 14. Describing a movement that would steal freedom. Intent upon taking away from you and your grandchildren, from you and your children, and everyone else in America and the world, the right to worship. You say, Pastor, come on, how could that ever be? How could conditions ever present themselves in such a way? I didn't write the story. I'm just simply reading. Revelation 13 and verse 11. He says, then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. This one, yes, I read a moment ago. He has 2 horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. Just about the same time that the papacy was receiving a deadly wound, there was another nation that was rising in power, only one at the time, who has risen to great heights of world influence, and that's the United States of America. If you are searching for the United States in prophecy, right here it is. And the United States has a destiny. It is bound by Scripture to bring about lasting events at the end of time. This beast power, which comes up out of the earth, out of a sparsely populated region of the world, would be founded upon two main principles. One of those is the right to worship. But I'm telling you children here today, that there are those who intentionally and unintentionally are bound and determined to take away your choice of worship and bind you into such a way of worship, it is forced upon you. In other words, the time is coming in which religious liberty shall be stolen from you. I mean stolen. Very stealthily, very artfully crafted is the legislature to turn America back to God. But it has in it the goal of promoting the Roman Church and of destroying the teaching of Scripture when it comes to the commandments of God. Let me read on. In Revelation 13:12, he says, "And he exercises all of the authority of the first beast before him." And he does something. And he causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. If you are not receiving, you will soon be receiving through email and other means a lot of commentary on our economy. There are those who like Mr. Obama and there are those who do not. I happen to be one. I'm going to support the Commander-in-Chief. Whoever is there in that office serving our country as president, I don't want to badmouth him. I don't want to work against him. I could never even begin to do such a job. But there are those making strong predictions about our economy. And it may all come to pass, I don't know. But just as a little sidelight here, if the United States is going to be first and foremost in a world economy, and it takes money to do anything, if the United States is the country, if we are to be the world's strongest power militarily and economically to push this thing through with religious freedom, in joining with the Roman Church, we cannot be all broke. So if we have an economic collapse, then we must recover from that and then be in a state of temporal prosperity. There are those who claim that it can be done in poverty. It just seems to me more reasonable to assume, and as Paul would say, I speak as a man here. Somebody has got to have some money to make this happen. It may be that the whole world's economy collapses. I don't know how it's going to take place. It might be as a result of major natural disasters, draining the world's resources to help each other. I don't know. But I know this. The Bible says, Harold, that this power, and if we have properly identified it as the United States will reach its hand across the great gulf as it is, grasping the hands of Catholicism. A marriage takes place. We've studied this before, right here on this same stage. And two ways of controlling people are very evident in history. That's through economics and through religion. It says right here in verse 12 that religion is a very dominating part of the story. It says here that he, this would be the United States, causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast. I challenge you, as you think about a day coming when religious liberty is in peril and in jeopardy, it must be promoted for the good of humanity. In other words, a lie is presented that says it is okay to break the law of God so you can have the blessings of God for humanity. It's done in the name of religion. Religious liberty stolen out from among us. Already today, don't you feel that you are somewhat misled at almost everything you do? For instance, if you have your automobile repaired, I always feel like I've gotten cheated. You go to the grocery store. I suppose a gallon of milk is worth $5.29. It just seems a little high to me. Have you gone out to eat lately? It seems that everything is being priced up so high that we can barely afford it, and yet wages are not matching the expenses. That's what's wrong with the country. Income and expenses don't match up. We've got far too much going out. Well, spiritually speaking, it also works the same way. If we've got so much doctrine going out and we're not resourcing it with anything coming in, We're headed for deep, deep trouble. It just might be here as part of this story in Revelation 13 and verse 13. I can't help the story. I love this country. I do not want to live anywhere else. I want to support those in leadership to help make this country better. But it says here that he performs great signs, so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Now try to define that one in a mixed congregation. But it's true that it's by deception it takes place. We're already distrusting today. Anyone in a leadership position sets themselves up to be mistrusted. It seems that the world around us is giving approval to doing wrong as long as you can get away with it. Verse 14. He deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and did live. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. You must decide if this has already happened, if it's happening today, or if it's going to happen in the future. We've been through this all before, right here. There have been times of extreme spiritual poverty. In Germany, last April, we were visiting the concentration camps. That makes me cry. Horrible what happened to those people. Horrible what's happening today in many places as religious freedom is hidden, stolen, taken away. We just happen to be privileged to live in America right now when you can worship as you choose. But I'm telling you, the Bible teaches that the day is coming in which your religious freedom, your right to worship and to assemble like this right here on any day you choose will be taken away. Our desire to buy subscriptions to Liberty Magazine, it is a good way to keep before the thought leaders of our country the privilege of religious freedom, the rights given to us by the Constitution. And we need to support that. But the time is coming that regardless of our efforts, Scripture shall be fulfilled and you shall be called to make a decision to go along with the dictates of the state or along with the teachings of Scripture. And how will you choose? I'm concerned because unless we stand today with people who are keeping the commandments of God, it's going to be very difficult to just suddenly switch over then and say, oh, you know, I've really always wanted to be a Christian. Now I'm going to do it. So the time for decision-making is now, not then. Will there be those who do that? Will there be those who would be able, who shall be able to say, I would rather die than to sin? That's the level of allegiance that I'm talking about. There will be. I want you to be that type of person. I want your faith to be so welded to the faith of Jesus Christ that no law made of man will cause you to break that law. You could give me words today about the Ten Commandments. I know you could. The Ten Commandments, if they were alive, if the Ten Commandments could speak, and speaking as the law of God, they could say, we are being choked. Those who profess to honor the author of the law are choking us to death. The Ten Commandments could say, we've been kicked, we've been beaten, we've been broken, we've been hid, we've been buried. It's been said that we are of no value. The charge is made that it doesn't matter. Oh, but if the law of God could talk. Here in Revelation 13 is a direct reference to the commandments of God and a direct reference, I believe, to a legislative act that commands morality. There's great implication there in forcing you to worship a certain way. Traditionally, we look at the law of God and we say, out of all of those Ten Commandments, which one separates Seventh-day Adventist more so from the others? Keeping in mind now that Jesus himself took that law and characterized it two ways. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Upon these two, he said, hang everything. Hang all the law and the prophets on those. Now we search through those Ten Commandments. We compare what we believe with what our friends believe, and there's one big difference. We all agree on the first one. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Although we don't all keep it, we all agree. We all agree that we shouldn't make any graven images. We should not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. That we should not covet. We should not steal. We should not kill. That we should honor mother and daddy. Every one of the Ten Commandments, the basis of God's government, religion agrees on today, except one. Now, I've prefaced this. We don't all keep it, but we agree. But one that we disagree on is the fourth commandment. The very commandment itself that demands that we have accountability before God. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. book of Genesis tells us that he blessed the day. He made the day holy. He sanctified it. He set it aside. The one commandment that promotes the Creator God happens to be the one commandment today that is openly kicked around and smashed and hidden away somewhere. Listen. That commandment, which proves, among other things, that we have accountability before God, could that not be the authority of the Roman Church? We know that Protestantism keeps Sunday today because of the institution of Sunday through the Roman Catholic Church. Could that not be the sign of their authority even today? Could that not be the one sign that might just be resurrected in the last days as part of this declaration to worship God a certain way? Yes. Yes, it is. Is it important for you to keep the Sabbath today? Yes, it is. Well, why? It proves we have a Creator God. It proves we have accountability before God. It proves that the law of God itself is true. If we deny part of the law, we are actually denying the author of the law. Will there be those who stand with the brave? Yes. Revelation 14. Go home and read the chapter. John says he saw people there. I was telling the kids in the children's story here. Erica and Michaela and Kendall and Emily. Faces were supernaturally revealed in this vision. He says, I looked and behold a lamb stood on the Mount Sion. 144,000 there with him, having his Father's name written on their foreheads. People redeemed from off the earth, just like you. People who, by the grace of God, had the privilege of hearing truth, recognizing it as truth, and receiving it as truth, and adopting it as truth, and living it in their life as truth. Those are the people that John sees inheriting the earth made new. Have you ever found yourself weak? Oh, come on, I think so. We're all weak. We all have difficulty being as holy as we want to be. We need a Savior. We need a power. We need something that connects us to Christ in a way that if we're stretched away, we always come back again. That's the gospel. That's the three angels' message. I read the chapter last night on William Miller. What an interesting character William Miller was. He had no idea of beginning a new faith. He just wanted to teach prophecy. He wanted people of all different faiths to become better at who they were, to have a faith and a hope that believed Jesus is coming soon. But out of that foundation came another movement. He didn't intend for the Adventist church to be born. But it came into being on time and on schedule. Another movement of the last days, which would proclaim the advent of Christ, the end of the world, and at the same time the authority of the Creator God through the keeping of the Ten Commandments. Can the Church of God today do any less than talk about the soon return of Christ and the eternity of the Ten Commandments? I think not. Surely that should be the basis for any spiritual movement today. And based upon the authority of Scripture, that religious freedom can be stolen. And the penalty so severe that at the threat of your own life it comes to you that unless you receive the mark of the beast, you should be killed. And I'm telling you, all this has not happened yet. It's still to come. I hope it comes in my lifetime. Talk about a time of trouble? Yes. But talk about a time of redemption, it's even greater. We have focused too much time on running into the mountains and fleeing into the wilderness instead of fleeing to Christ. Running to the strong rock of all ages. Today, please determine in your own heart that whatever keeping the commandments of God means to you, the challenge that you face, be determined in obedience to His will. And you shall someday stand like the brave on the sea of blameless. We're standing now, dear Lord, because we're making a commitment to You. Please take us where we are. Give us a deeper appreciation of what it means to be faithful. Let us be aware of each of the commandments of God as they're all important, especially of those that tempt and test our own faith. While we're standing right now, dear Lord, please, You can do this. Commission a mighty angel to stand beside us. We don't have to see the angel. At the same time, please give us a measure of the Holy Spirit, which will bring conviction in our heart, but also give us power to do what we know is right. If we have known sin in our life, if we have practiced secret sin in our life, please, Lord, right now, we ask forgiveness. We thank You for reconciliation, and we ask for victory. In Jesus' dear name we pray. Amen.